Good evening. Tiny Suds Toilet Soap presents Richmond Radio Works. Richmond Civic Theater brings you Wuthering Heights. Ladies and gentlemen, your director, Marty Holscher.
Greetings from the Murray Theater, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's play is a powerful, gripping tale written by a girl whose life was as bleak as the somber Yorkshire moors where the story is laid. It has already stirred many millions, as it will tug at your heartstrings tonight. And it is an actual fact that you, our listeners, are producing it. For it is your letters asking for Wuthering Heights that started me in pursuit of it. May I read you one of the many letters requesting Emily Bronte's masterpiece? The letter says, "I am wondering, would you, could you, give us Wuthering Heights? If I thought my request could be granted, I should be thrilled to the skies. I think it's one of the greatest love stories that has ever been told, and leaves you with something to think about." Then our fair correspondent adds, with a twinkle in her pen, "If Wuthering Heights is staged, I shall use 2 cakes of Tiny Suds toilet soap each week instead of 1. It's very gratifying to me that the products behind this theater, Tiny Suds toilet soap and Tiny Suds flakes, are of such incomparably high standards that I have no hesitation in asking you to purchase them." Wuthering Heights, starring Michelle King as Kathy, Dustin Suman as Heathcliff, Robin Zitnik as Ellen, Elisa Clapp Ittenier as Isabella, Jackson Thompson is playing Hindley, Ron Ittenier in the role of Edgar and our announcer, Marty Hancock will be voicing the roles of Earnshaw, Joseph, and Dr. Kenneth, and I will be reading the role of Lockwood. Asia Smith is our Foley artist, and Rachel Phoenix will be providing our music this evening. Rick Funk is recording this production, and Aaron Clark is in charge of lighting. Desolate and lonely are the rolling moorlands of England, where in the winter night, the snowdrifts stand like giant specters in the teeth of screaming gales. About 100 years ago, a stranger lost his way on such a night. Freezing, blinded, and stumbling, he saw at last the fitful lights of an old manor house, aged and crumbling on the hillside. He knocked desperately at the door. It was opened by a doddering old butler who stood staring at him. Then, without a word, he led the stranger into the musty living room, where in the dim candlelight, a man and 2 women sat without moving. The man was tall and dark-skinned like a gypsy. On his face, the stamp of years of bitter suffering. At his feet, a great dog growled ominously. At last, the man turned and spoke.
"Who are you, and what do you want?"
"My name is Lockwood. I've lost my way on the moors."
"Down, wolf, down. Strangers have no business in the moors at this time of year. No business here at any time."
"But I couldn't find the village. A man could die out there on a night like this. I'm afraid I shall have to presume on your hospitality until morning."
"Do as you please."
"I beg your pardon?"
"I don't keep accommodations for visitors. You have to sleep with one of the servants."
"Heathcliff, you can't. He's our guest."
Then suppose you attend to his comfort."
"Ellen, show the gentleman to the guest room, please."
"The guest room, mistress?"
"Yes, there's no other place."
"Yes, mistress. This way, sir." "If you will hold the lamp, sir, while I unlock the door."
"Of course."
"Mind you don't stumble on the carpet. It's about falling to pieces, I'm afraid."
"You call this a guest chamber?"
"It was once."
"It is a trifle depressing.
May I light a fire?
No fire will burn in that grate, sir. The chimney has been clogged for years.
Must have been a fine old house once. What is it called?
This is Wuthering Heights, sir.
And the tall chap downstairs with the piercing eyes?
That will be Master Heathcliff, sir.
And the once lovely lady who looks at him with fear?
That is his wife, Mistress Isabella. Well, good night, sir. If you want anything, there's the bell rope. My name is Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen. Good night. Good Lord!
The window. The catch broke in the wind.
Stand back. I'll close it.
Let me in! I'm lost on the moor! Let me in! I'm lost on the moor!
Listen! I heard a voice!
Heathcliff! I'm lost on the moor! Heathcliff!
Good heavens! A hand! A cold hand grabbed my wrist!
A hand?
Didn't you hear the voice? A woman shouting she's lost on the moor.
What's going on here?
A voice out there. A woman's crying that she's lost.
And she's come. She's come again at last. Kathy, wait for me. Wait for me.
He's not going out there in that storm.
I'm coming. I'm coming, Kathy.
This is insane. Come back.
Close the window, sir.
But that man out there.
Thank you for closing the window.
Am I mad? Why did he go out there? And what was that voice?
You heard him call her name. It was Kathy.
Kathy? Who is she?
Kathy is a girl who died.
I don't believe in ghosts, if that's what you mean. Why, I don't believe in phantoms sobbing in the night.
You don't believe. Perhaps if I told you her story, you would change your mind about the dead returning.
Tell me her story.
It all began the time I came to Wuthering Heights as a servant. That was 50 years ago, in 1790. The place was different then. A sweet, well-kept estate. Mr. Earnshaw was master. A fine man who dearly loved his two children, Kathy and Hindley. One day, Mr. Earnshaw returned from Liverpool with a foundling boy he had picked up. A dark, savage-looking gypsy lad with the most dreadful marks of beatings on his back. Mr. Earnshaw called for me the moment he arrived.
Give him a good scrubbing, Ellen. And put some of Hindley's clothes on him.
Yes, sir. Come with me, lad.
Don't touch me. Let me alone.
Goodness.
Now, son, Ellen won't hurt you. You're safe here. No one will ever beat you again. And you'll always have plenty to eat.
Papa's home! Papa's home!
Hey, get out of my way. Hello, Father.
Well, Hindley. Well, Kathy.
Papa, who's that boy?
Yes, who is he, Father?
Children, this little guest will pay us a visit for a time, as long as he wants a home here.
He's dirty. Look at him.
Kathy, don't make me ashamed of you. Hindley, he will sleep in your room.
In my room? No, I won't let him. He's a dirty gypsy.
That'll do, Hindley. You must learn to share things. Take charge of the lad, Ellen.
And what will his name be, Mr. Earnshaw?
His name? Why, I think we'll call him Heathcliff.
Yes, sir. Come, Heathcliff. That dark, brooding boy brought a subtle change to life at Wuthering Heights. The three children seemed to play well enough together, going scamping up over the moors on their ponies and climbing the crags together. But neither Kathy nor Hindley were open and frank anymore. And one day, the children fought.
Your father gave me this pony. It's mine.
Hey, you give me that pony, do you hear? Or I'll tell Father how you boasted that you turned us out when he died.
That's a lie. I never said it.
Of course
he didn't.
Yes, he did. He worms his way into everything Father does for us, and he'll cheat us out of everything. I mean, you never even had it, Father, you gypsy beggar, and you'll never get mine. Fancy, that'll teach you.
Henley! He's bleeding!
Serves him right, gypsy scum.
Heathcliff, are you hurt?
He hit me with that stone.
Please, Heathcliff, don't look at me like that. Why don't you cry when you're hurt, like other people?
Why should I cry? I'll pay him back someday. I don't care how long I wait, if I can only pay him back.
Heathcliff, don't say those things. Come, Heathcliff. Now Henley's gone, we can have our game of castle again.
I don't feel like playing at the castle.
Please, you always smile and laugh when we're there. Come on, Heathcliff, we'll play our game. Don't frown so, Heathcliff. Sit here beside me on the stone, and we'll look over at the moors. This is our castle.
Castle? It's Pennison and Craig, and you know it.
It is not. This is our castle, and you're a prince in disguise.
Tell me about it again.
It's all true. Cross my heart. Your father was the Emperor of China. And your mother, the Queen of India, you were kidnapped by wicked sailors and brought here.
Don't make fun of me, Kathy.
I'm not making fun of you. You really, truly are a prince, and I'm your slave.
You're not my slave. You're my queen, Kathy, and you'll always be my queen. Nobody else will make you his queen, you hear?
Yes, Heathcliff, your queen.
And that's the way they grew up, wild and free, roaming the moors together. But Hindley grew more and more jealous. Kathy was 18 and Hindley passed 21 when Mr. Earnshaw died. Good man, he never saw the evil of life and had raised Heathcliff like his own son. But on the very day of his funeral...
You're not going into that room to look at my father's body.
Why? He loved me more than he did you.
He's past your wheedling now. I'm master of Wuthering Heights, and if you want to stay here, we've need for a stable boy.
A stable boy?
That or get out!
And that's what he became. Heathcliff, who had lived under this roof as one of the family, was a stable boy.
Well, give me a hand up to my saddle.
Very well.
Hey, sir, you gypsy beggar, how many times must I tell you?
Sir.
That's better. Now, by the time I come back in the morning, I want these stables scrubbed. Scrubbed, do you understand? And if they're not, I will thrash you till my arms are off.
Heathcliff! Heathcliff?
Yes, Kathy.
Heard him. How much longer are you going to stand for this?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, look at you. Dirty and unkempt. And in rags. Why, aren't you a man? Why don't you run away?
Run away? What? From you?
You could come back and take me away. Why aren't you a prince like we said long ago? Why can't you rescue me, Heathcliff?
Kathy. Kathy, come away with me now.
Now? Where?
Oh, anywhere.
You mean leave as we are, live in haystacks, steal our food? Oh, no, Heathcliff. That isn't what I want.
No. You want me to go off alone? Well, it won't do. I've stayed here since your father died, been beaten and cursed like a dog, abused and driven mad, just so I could be near you. And like a dog, I'll stay until the end. To the end.
Yes, Heathcliff did run away. The curses and insults were too much, even for his great love. And he disappeared, Kathy found a new world in her first introduction at Linton Manor, with Edgar Linton and his sister Isabella, both Kathy's age. Music and laughter were there, shining eyes and dancing, and it was her escape from Wuthering Heights. Edgar Linton fell madly in love with Kathy. They were constantly together. Then, one evening, Edgar brought Kathy home in the pony cart. As quickly as I could, I tried to warn her.
My hand down from the cart, Miss Kathy.
Thank you, Edgar. Oh, Ellen, we had the most marvelous time. Judge Lytton had guests from Liverpool.
Kathy, come here.
Excuse me, Edgar.
Certainly.
Something wrong, Ellen?
Heathcliff is back.
Heathcliff? When did he come?
Last night. He talked so strangely. Here he is now.
Hello, Kathy.
Heathcliff, you said you'd stay away.
Why were you gone so long?
I didn't expect to find you here.
Why were you gone so long?
Because I've met the Lyttons. Because I was at their house. And I had a wonderful, delightful, and fascinating time.
Are you the stable boy? Would you mind putting my horse up for an hour?
Yes, and you might wash your hands and comb your hair, Heathcliff, so I needn't be ashamed of you before our guests. And look after Mr. Linton's horse, will you?
Let him look after his own horse.
Pleasant fellow. How can your brother allow such a beast of a gypsy stable boy to act like this?
Beast of a gypsy stable boy?
Of course, a roadside beggar giving himself airs of equality.
What do you know about Heathcliff?
Well, judging from this performance, all I need to know.
He was my friend long before you were.
That blackguard?
Blackguard and all. He belongs under our roof, and you'll do well to speak of him or get out.
Kathy, are you out of your senses?
Get out, I said, or stop calling those I love names.
Those you love? That stable boy?
Yes!
Kathy, do you realize what you're saying?
Yes, yes! I'm saying I hate the look of that milk-white face. I hate the touch of your soft, foolish hands.
Oh, some of that gypsy's evil soul has got into you, I think.
Yes!
Some of that beggar's dirt is on you.
Yes, yes! Now get out! Get out! Get out!
Kathy, please! Come back!
Kathy!
Oh, Ellen, where is he? Where's Heathcliff? Tell me.
He's across the moors, towards Penistone Crag.
Heathcliff! 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 Oh, you've forgiven me. Say you've forgiven me.
Wasn't your heart that spoke, Kathy?
No, my darling, because my heart is yours.
Kathy! The clouds are lowering over Gimmerton's head.
Yes. Oh, see how the light is changing.
Kathy, you're such a part of all of this.
Perhaps we belong to the moors, you and I. Oh, Heathcliff, make the world stop right here. Make everything stop and stand still and never move again. The moors never change. You and I never change.
The moors and I will never change. Don't you, Kathy?
I can't. No matter what I say or do, this is I forever.
Kathy.
Oh, smell the heather, Heathcliff. Fill my arms with heather, all they can hold.
Kathy, you're not thinking of that other world now.
Oh, don't talk, darling. All this might disappear. Ellen, hurry, please. My hair's not nearly done yet.
What's the matter? Supposing you're not ready when young Mr. Linton gets here? Any young man who will come sniveling back after the way you treated him.
But I sent my apologies to him, didn't I? Of course he'll return.
Kathy, I can't believe this change in you. Just yesterday, it seems, you were just a stupid harum-scarum child with dirty hands and a willful heart.
Well, that's my other nature, Ellen. I still have it. I used to fly around wild, but now I can coax it back into a cage whenever I want to. Heathcliff! Since when are you in the habit of entering my room?
I want to talk to you. Get out, Ellen.
I will not. I take all...
Get out!
Well, now that we're so happily alone, how may I know what I owe this great honor?
He's coming here again.
Who?
You know who I mean. That stupid fop, Linton.
You're unbearable. Utterly unbearable.
Why are you dressed in silk?
Because gentlefolk dress for dinner.
And why are you trying to win his puling flatteries?
I'm not a child anymore. You can't talk that way to me.
I'm not talking to a child. I'm talking to Kathy. My Kathy.
Oh, I'm your Kathy.
Yes.
Am I to take orders from you? A dirty stable boy, allow you to select what dresses I shall wear and bow humbly to your horrible, wretched tempers?
Kathy, where's your heart?
You had your chance to be something else. You left here once. Oh, why didn't you stay away? Let me alone.
That's right. That's right. The dirty stable boy can't come near you lest he soil your dress. But who soils your heart? Who turns you into a cheap, vain, ambitious fool? Linton does. You let yourself be loved by him because you want to be a fine lady because it pleases your stupid, greedy vanity.
Stop it! Thief or beggar is all you were born to be, kneeling beside the road, begging for favors, not earning them, but whimpering for them with dirty hands.
I see. All I am to you now is a pair of dirty hands.
Well, Heathcliff, I thank you to stay out of my kitchen.
Is Kathy still with him?
Yes, she is. What's the matter with you? What are you staring at?
I want to crawl to her feet, whimper to be forgiven for loving her, for needing her more than my own life, for belonging to her more than my own soul. I want to beg for a smile. I don't care if she loves Linton or whom she loves. If only she'll look at me and say my name.
Oh, Heathcliff.
Ellen! Ellen?
She's coming now. Get out, Heathcliff.
I'll wait outside the door.
No, you can't.
I want to be where I can see her and hear her.
Heathcliff!
Ellen, where are you? Oh, here you are.
Yes, Miss Kathy. Has Mr. Linton gone?
He just left. Oh, Ellen, I have some wonderful, exciting news for you.
Well, the kitchen is no place for that dress. Come inside.
No, no. Listen. Edgar has asked me to marry him.
What did you say?
Well, I'm to give him my answer tomorrow.
Kathy, do you love him?
Of course.
Why?
Now, isn't that a silly question? Because he's handsome and pleasant to be with.
It's not enough.
Well, then, because he'll be rich someday, and I'll be the best lady in the country. Oh, Ellen, it would be heaven to escape from here.
What about Heathcliff?
Heathcliff. Oh, Ellen, you know he gets worse every day. Would degrade me to marry him. I wish he'd never come back. What was that?
Oh, nothing. The wind, perhaps? Well, my darling, if Master Edgar and his beautiful home mean heaven to you, you would better enter that heaven and take your place among the Linton angels.
The only thing is, Ellen, I wonder if I belong in heaven. I dreamed I was there once, and I broke my heart with weeping to come back to earth, to the bleak moors, and I awoke sobbing with joy on top of Wuthering Heights. And so you see, Ellen, I suppose I've really no business marrying Edgar Linton than I have in heaven. But, oh, Ellen, what can I do?
You're thinking of Heathcliff?
Who else? He's sunk so low, he seems to take pleasure in being mean and brutal, and yet he's more myself than I am. Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. Everything he's suffered, I've suffered too. The little happiness he's known, I've known. If everything else in the world died and only Heathcliff remained, life would still be full for me.
Who was that? Ellen, I heard galloping or... What?
Miss Cathy! Miss Cathy!
Yes, Joseph?
Heathcliff's taken Master Hindley's best horse and he's gone.
Gone? Ellen, did he hear what I said?
Yes, Miss Cathy.
How much did he hear?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I think... to where you said it would degrade you to marry him.
Oh! Ellen, no! No! Heathcliff! Heathcliff, come back! No, Heathcliff!
The curtain falls on the first act of Wuthering Heights. Stormy conflict and adventure lie ahead for Cathy and Heathcliff in the second act of our play. But this is intermission time. And Mr. Ittenire is going to tell you a little story that he told me at rehearsal yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this brief intermission before our stars return in Act Two of Wuthering Heights, I should like to say a word about the product which brings you to tonight's play, Tiny Suds Toilet Soap. I just want to tell you what a lovely and an intelligent lady whom I know here in Richmond said to me the other day. She knows that I talk to the Richmond Radio Works audience each Monday, and we chatted about the program for a while. Then she said something I'd like to pass on to you. She told me that she thought I ought to tell our women listeners of her own experience with Tiny Suds Toilet Soap. You'll be interested to know that the lady in question is our very own Alisa Clapp-Ittenire.
I think you would be even more emphatic than you are about your soap. Here's what I mean. For example, some years ago, I used to buy an expensive soap. Then I found Tiny Suds toilet soap in a neighboring Star's dressing room and tried it. I liked it better than the soap I'd been using. It seemed milder, gentler, and it agreed with my skin. Well, since then, I've been one of your most enthusiastic users. And here's what seems to me so marvelous. For a few pennies, literally, I get a beautifully made, subtly perfumed complexion soap that I like better than the very expensive one. Why don't you tell women what a bargain Tiny Tuds soap is?
It is interesting to realize that for a few pennies, any woman can buy the very same soap that the lovely screen stars use. 9 out of 10 of them. To help keep their complexions lovely. I'm sure I don't need to remind women in our audience that taking care of your complexion, making the most of your looks, pays rich dividends in the admiration and love of those around you, and in bringing you romance and keeping it. No woman ever quite outgrows the longing for romance, the need for it. No woman ever grows tired of hearing the lovely things that loveliness makes people say. And now I return our director, Marty Holscher.
Act Two of Wuthering Heights, starring Michelle King as Cathy and Dustin Suman as Heathcliff. On that stormy winter night, a century ago, the traveler Lockwood sat in the musty guest room at Wuthering Heights, listening to the story told him by the old servant Ellen. Outside, the wind swept over the moors, shaking the ancient house to its foundations. The lamp on the mantelpiece flickered, casting eerie shadows.
That night Heathcliff went away. Cathy ran far across the moors after him in the bitter cold, calling his name into the wind. Hours later, in the morning, Edgar Linton found her half-frozen in her silken party dress, unconscious on the crag the children used to call the castle. For weeks after she was ill, the Lintons took her to their manor house, and I was glad, for day by day, the strange influence that Heathcliff had had upon Kathy wore off, and she was happy with Edgar.
Why can't you remain here forever, Kathy?
Oh, Edgar, you and your sister, you've been too kind to me already.
If I can make you happy by just being kind, that should be enough for me. After all, what else can I give you?
What else? You've given me a great deal else, Edgar. You've given me your own strength.
My strength?
You'd understand if you really knew what my life was like before. It was like the moors, endless and desolate, and I was lost in them, calling for someone in the darkness to save me. Nobody answered. I couldn't even see a trace of a path. I was so frightened, so terribly alone, and suddenly you were there, Edgar. You held out your hand and led me back to a way of living that I thought I'd lost forever. What you said long ago was true. There was a curse on me. It kept me from being myself, or at least what I wanted to be. And that kept me from living in heaven. There. Do you understand now?
Kathy, my darling, let me take care of you forever. Let me guard you and love you always.
Would you? Would you love me always?
Always, Kathy.
Then let's be married, Edgar. Quickly, quickly!
If the Linton home had seemed heaven to me before, I don't know what to call it after she became its mistress. The only one who did not seem completely happy was Edgar's sister, Isabella. A year or two after the marriage, the three of them sat in the drawing room. Edgar reading, Isabella playing the spinet, Kathy quietly doing petty point. When the door knocker sounded, when I saw who it was, I went back into the drawing room.
Yes, Alan? Why, what's the matter?
Mistress Kathy, Heathcliff has come back.
Heathcliff? Tell him I'm not at home. Ellen.
Not at home, darling. To whom?
It's Heathcliff.
Heathcliff? Well, does he seem the same, Ellen?
No, sir. I hardly recognized him. Fine clothes? He seems quite the gentleman.
Don't prattle, Ellen. I said I don't wish to see him.
Oh, nonsense, Kathy. It has been a long time. Bygones must be bygones.
Oh, yes. Let us see some kind of collar.
Show him in, Ellen.
Yes, sir.
Edgar, this is a mistake.
Why, Kathy, your hands are trembling.
Oh, are they?
The past is dead, dear. Do not hesitate to smile and be nice to him, because I will understand it is my wife who loves me who smiles.
Thank you, Edgar. You always understand.
Mr. Heathcliff.
Come in.
Hello, Kathy.
How are you, Heathcliff? Have you met my sister, Isabella?
No, I'm sorry. How do you do, Miss Linton?
We are glad to see a guest, sir.
Thank you.
Well, Heathcliff, I must say I have never seen such a complete change in a man. You seem to have prospered. You must have gone to America.
I did.
We have wondered where you went.
You must have found at least a gold mine.
No. I remembered that my father was an emperor of China and my mother a queen of India.
I beg your pardon?
So I claim my inheritance. Kathy will understand. It's an old joke between us.
I see. Are you staying long in the neighborhood?
I'm staying the rest of my life.
Really?
I've just bought the horses, the cattle, and the moors belonging to the estate known as Wuthering Heights.
No!
You mean Kathy's brother Hindley sold out?
But he doesn't know it yet. I imagine it'll be a shock when Hindley discovers that his gambling and drinking debts were paid up, by his former stable boy.
Heathcliff, you can't have done that.
That is as underhanded a piece of work as I have ever heard of. If I had known that his holdings were being stolen by a stranger...
And may I remind you, Mr. Edgar Linton, that I am not a stranger. I am merely a neighbor. For now, I'll say goodnight.
Wait, Heathcliff.
Well?
I want you to know that we sometimes have friends here who come as guests. Edgar and I. You're welcome to come, too. But not with that old scowl on your face or that old bitterness in your heart.
Thank you, my old friend Kathy, for that warning. Oh, I just remembered. I forgot to congratulate you on your marriage. I've often thought about it, I can assure you. May I express my delight? Good night.
Edgar, I think you behaved abominably.
What?
And you too, Kathy.
What in thunder do you mean?
You could at least have been civil. You dismiss him as if he'd been a servant.
Well, do you consider him anything else?
Yes, I find he's grown fascinating and distinguished.
Really, Isabella, I hope I misunderstand.
Well, you don't. We see all too few people, and I, for one, shan't be rude if he calls again.
Edgar, I greatly dread what the future will bring.
Oh, nonsense, darling. I tell you, the past is dead.
That's all, Joseph. You'll stay on, of course.
Oh, thank you, sir. Shall I pack Master Hindley's things?
Oh, just move him out of the master's bedroom. He'll remain under this roof.
Master Hindley, sir?
Oh, yes. He gave me a roof once when I needed it. Thinking he's drinking a great deal.
Oh, yes, sir. Though Dr. Kenneth has ordered him not to.
Well... We'll give him all the drinks he wants, then.
Yes, sir. A lady is waiting to see you, sir.
A lady?
From Linton Manor, sir.
Well, why didn't you tell me? In the future, announce visitors at once. Oh, Miss Linton.
Are you disappointed, sir?
Not at all.
Well, I was passing by and my horse went lame.
I see.
Mr. Heathcliff, I want to tell you, I'm furious with my brother and with Kathy. They received you most shamefully last night.
Your brother didn't send you with this apology, did he?
Oh, no. No, in fact, he's forbidden me to...
To speak to me,
Well, yes.
And Kathy also forbade you?
Yes.
Then in all the Moorlands, you are my only friend,
Well, I would like to be.
Thank you. Miss Linton, I enjoy frankness. You didn't come here to apologize and your horse didn't go lame.
Why,
You came here because you're lonely and because you live in a house full that's too happy wedded for an outsider. And because it's no joy to ride in the moors alone. Is that right?
Yes.
Then you needn't be alone anymore, my dear. What? You think it's strange I should kiss you?
Well, I don't know.
You hated it?
No.
Well, I see you like frankness too.
Oh, come in, Kathy. Wasn't it a lovely dance tonight? Though I think you could have been more gracious to my guest.
Isabella, may I speak to you for a moment?
Well?
You behaved disgracefully.
How, may I ask?
It was bad enough asking Heathcliff here without consulting us or preparing us.
You'd have forbidden me. Oh,
but to make a spectacle of yourself, to throw yourself at him the way you did.
Well, nobody else would pay attention to him. You refuse to dance with him. I had to dance every dance as a result.
You fool. You vain little fool.
Really, Kathy?
I'm going to open your eyes, Isabella. He's using you. Using you to be near me. To smile at me behind your back. To stare at me until our guests fear his murderous gypsy look. To try to rouse something that's been dead in my heart. and I'll not let you help him any longer.
So that's what you mean. It's you who are vain and foolish, Kathy. Heathcliff's in love with me.
It's a lie.
It's not a lie. He told me so. He's kissed me. Yes, he's kissed me, held me in his arms, told me he loves me.
Oh, I'm going to your brother.
Yes, go to Edgar, tell him Heathcliff asked me to marry him, and that I've said yes. You hear? Yes.
You can't. He's not a man. He's something horrible and dark to live with.
I know why you say these things, because you love him.
How dare you say that?
Yes, you do love him. You're mad with pain and jealousy at the thought of my marrying him, because you want him to pine for you, dream of you, die for you, while you're safe as the lovely Mrs. Edgar Linton. You won't have him happy. You want to hurt and destroy him. But I want to make him happy, and I will. Do you hear? I will.
Sit down, Kathy. I won't say I'm not surprised to see you.
Heathcliff, is it true?
Is what true?
Did you ask Isabella to marry you? Oh, Heathcliff, you mustn't do this villainous thing. She's never harmed you.
No, but you've harmed me.
Then punish me.
And that's what I intend to do.
I don't understand.
Every moment I hold her in my arms, when I tell her I love her, when I kiss her, when I promise her life and happiness, you'll be punished.
You'd marry her to do that?
Yes, to teach you the ways of pain and hell that I'm in.
Oh, Heathcliff, you can't. If there's anything human left in you, don't make me a partner to this crime. It's mad. It's stupid.
If your heart were only stronger than your dull care for the world and its conventions, I'd live as silent and content in your shadows, begging for an occasional word or thought as I used to. But now, you had to destroy me with that weakness that you call virtue. You had to keep me tormented with all that cruel vanity that you keep so pious.
How have I been cruel?
You wished to be known as the finest lady in the county. You wanted your luxury and your light. And at the same time, you wanted to keep me, your despairing lover. Well, now that I am returned, had you given me the smile of love, I might have been content. But you needn't think of me now as your despairing and foolish lover. You can think of me now as Isabella's husband, and be glad for my happiness, as I am for yours.
It was then that Isabella Linton came into this house as a bride. Yes, Heathcliff married her out of revenge. The same revenge that made him keep Hindley here, a staggering, broken fool, slowly drinking himself into the grave. Isabella learned the reason for her marriage to Heathcliff, but she was powerless to do anything. Then, one day, Dr. Kenneth, an old friend, came to see her. He had come that morning from Linton Manor.
Isabella, go back to where you belong, to Edgar's house.
Edgar disowned me, Dr. Kenneth.
I know, but he needs you now. Kathy's gravely ill.
Really?
Didn't you know? It's a matter of days now. Perhaps hours.
She can't be dying.
A fever and inflammation of the lungs. This intense cold and... well, and something else.
Something else?
I'd call it the will to die.
If Kathy dies, I might begin to live.
Isabella!
Begin to live. And then in this house, nothing can live with Heathcliff.
No, Hindley. Nothing but hate. Goodbye.
So, you think you'll live when Kathy dies? You won't.
Oh, Hindley, what is it? This house, I can feel the hate within it like a crushing weight.
Well, of course you can. And you, he hates you even more than he does me.
Stop it!
Oh, he loathes you. Oh. You know, every time you kiss him, his heart breaks with rage that it's not Kathy, Isabella. I mean, why don't you just do what I've been too weak to do? Kill him! Kill him!
Don't talk to me! Get away!
Oh, while there's still time to save your immortal soul.
Well, Hindley, remarkable.
Heathcliff,
Really, Henley, the first coherent speech I've heard from you in weeks.
Heathcliff, please don't. I tried to stop him.
Thank you, my dear wife. Your loyalty is touching.
Your curses will come home to feed on your own heart. Every agony you've given will return. No, laugh now, Heathcliff, laugh now, for there is no laughter in hell.
Heathcliff, why'd you have him here? I can't breathe with him in this house.
Oh, existence would be so much less without my boyhood friend under my roof.
Oh, Heathcliff, you poison yourself with paying him back what he gave you. Send him away, and love will come to this house. Kiss me, Heathcliff. Tell me you love me. Tell me, darling.
Why isn't there the smell of heather in your hair?
Heathcliff, let me come near you, please. You're not as black and as horrible as they say. It's just you're full of pain, all twisted inside. I can make you happy, my darling. Let me, please. You'll never regret letting me try. I'll be your slave. I'll bring life to you. Life and sunshine and freshness. Put your arms around me. Look into my eyes.
Your eyes are empty. Like Linton's.
They aren't empty. If you'll only look deeper, Heathcliff. Look at me. I'm pretty. I'm a woman. Let your heart see me. Just once.
It's no use. Why did God give me life? What is it but hunger and pain? A naked runner in a storm of spears.
Mistress Isabella.
Ellen?
What do you want here, Ellen?
I have come from Linton Manor to speak to Mistress Isabella.
Then you'll do so in front of me.
Her brother is asking that she come home for a visit.
Ah, so he's lost some pride, has he? Well, there's none gone in this house.
Oh, please, Mistress Isabella. He needs you.
Needs her? What is this, Ellen? Why does he need her?
Let go of me.
Kathy's ill?
Yes.
She's dying? Tell me the truth!
Yes, she's dying!
Joseph!
You're not going, Heathcliff!
Yes, Master Heathcliff.
Saddle my horse at once!
She belongs to Edgar!
She belongs to me!
If she's dying, let her die in his arms where she belongs! Let her die! Let her die!
Now who speaks of hate? Get out of my way!
Heathcliff! No! No!
And there was a murmur from the height, a faraway and wild, heartbroken moan. The wings of Lucifer beat on the night. The soul of Lucifer wept all alone. Shall I read some more, darling?
No, Edgar. Will you open the window?
Will it not be too cold?
Please.
Of course, darling.
Oh. Now I can smell the heather. And Edgar, isn't there a south wind? And isn't the smell almost gone?
Yes, quite gone.
Edgar, will you get me something?
Anything you wish, my darling.
Some heather. There's a beautiful patch near the castle. Will you get it for me from there?
What castle, Kathy?
The castle on the moors, of course. Bring me some from there.
You are in a fever, dear. There is no castle on the moors.
There is, on the little hill beyond Wuthering Heights.
You mean Penistone Crag?
Yes, please go.
Why do you call it the castle?
Because I was queen there once. Will you bring me the heather, darling?
If you will rest while I am gone and sleep.
You're so kind. So good.
My darling.
You made me the finest lady in the county. Go now, please. Get me the heather so that I can have it on my pillow.
Sleep, my dear Kathy. I will be back with the flower you want.
Where is she? Where's Kathy?
She's not to be disturbed, sir. Master Linton has gone for the doctor.
Get out of my way. Kathy! Oh, Kathy.
Heathcliff, come here.
Kathy, my life. How can I bear this?
I dreamed you'd come once more before I died. And when you came in my dream, you scowled at me once more.
Kathy, Kathy.
Oh, does it hurt so much to see me die?
Please, Kathy, don't hurt me.
Oh, how strong you look, Heathcliff. How many years do you think you'll live on after me?
Kathy, oh, my life, my soul.
Oh, my darling, don't let me go. Oh, if only I could hold you till we're both dead.
Please, please don't speak of death.
Will you forget me and be happy when I'm in the earth?
Never, never.
Will you say of me, this is the grave of Catherine Earnshaw. I loved her long ago and wept to lose her, but all is past.
I could as soon forget you as my own life. If you die, Kathy, if you die, there'll be no more peace for me, ever.
Poor Heathcliff. I want to die, to escape.
Why did you betray your heart? Kathy, you did this to yourself.
Shh, my darling. Hold me.
No.
Just hold me.
No, no, I'll not comfort you. You deserve this.
Heathcliff, don't break my heart.
I never broke your heart, Kathy. You broke it. My tears don't love you, Kathy. They blight and damn you. You loved me. What right had you throw away my love for the poor fancy things in life that you felt for him?
I found out, Heathcliff.
Misery and death and all evil could never have parted us. You did that alone. You wandered off like a greedy child to break your own heart and mine.
I know, Heathcliff. Oh, forgive me.
Oh, Kathy, your poor wasted hands. Oh, why didn't someone tell me? I forgive you. I forgive you for what you've done. I love you. I love my murderer.
Carry me to the window. Let me look out to the moors with you. Once more, my darling. Oh, once more.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, how lovely the sky looks. And over there, it's our castle. Remember?
I'll never forget.
The castle, Heathcliff. I'll be waiting there until you come. I'll be waiting there. Goodbye.
Kathy. Kathy.
No. Heathcliff, they're coming. Master Edgar, oh, for heaven's sakes, go away. Kathy!
You're dead, Kathy. May your soul hear this before I go. May you not rest so long as I live on. I killed you. Then haunt me. Be with me always. Take any form you wish. Only don't leave me where I can't find you. I can't live without my life. I can't live without my soul!
And though that was 20 years ago, I can still hear and see that wild hour, with poor Heathcliff holding the dead body of his beloved, crying out to Kathy's soul to haunt and torment him till he died.
Then the strange hand that gripped my wrist last night, the strange voice that called to me was Kathy. and Heathcliff went to follow her into the storm?
It wasn't Kathy herself, but her love. Kathy's love, stronger than time, sobbing for its unlived days. Who's there?
Dr. Kenneth, open the door.
Dr. Kenneth, what's the matter?
Well, I was just crossing the moor on my way home and...
Did you see Heathcliff?
Yes. I saw him from my carriage. He was wandering through the snow with a woman.
A woman, you say?
A young woman. She seemed, and... well, as mad as himself. They were walking through the storm with their arms about each other. I shouted at them, but they didn't hear. I was nearly up to them when, of a sudden, my horse reared and plunged, and then I found him. Alone, lying in the snow. Heathcliff was dead.
Dead? Was it by the castle? By the Pentastone Crag?
Yes. How ever did you know?
Look down, my Heathcliff. This is our castle, really, now. The wild beauty of it. For your father was the Emperor of China, your mother the Queen of India, and this is our land forever, and our love.
The storm and passion of Wuthering Heights fade into the dimness of 100 years ago. Thank you for coming to Richmond Civic Theater tonight and Richmond Radio Works production of Wuthering Heights. May we please have a round of applause for our cast. Thank you and good night.